Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It's good to have you with us. It's Tuesday, the 5th of July. Hope you had a great 4th of July yesterday. Barbecues, fireworks, all that good stuff. We went to bed early, Mrs. Squirrel and I, but we did hear the neighbors shooting off their fireworks. We were still laying in bed and reading and whatnot when the cacophony of sound began to assail the house. And even though we had the windows closed, because yesterday was a rather cool day for the 4th of July, it may have gotten up to 70. I'm not sure. It rained a lot of the day, but it didn't stop the fireworks last night, at least in our neighborhood, as here in the Piney Woods, our neighbors fired off quite a bit of fire. Understand, of course, that, our houses here are pretty spread out. We're not a, when you think of a neighborhood, we're not cheek and jowl. Everybody's got a few acres and we're spread out a bit here. We had noise all around us, it seemed like. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. Mrs. Squirrel and I ate Papa Murphy's pizza for lunch and then binged the entire first season of Terminal List on Amazon Prime. I've enjoyed those books for a while, and while there were some significant departure from the books, it was not nearly as bad as Amazon did with The Wheel of Time, thankfully. But don't bother with The Wheel of Time. Love the books. Could not watch the show. Actually watched the show and whined and complained the whole time because it was... There are departures from a book while still telling the same story. The Amazon Wheel of Time series, they told a different story with characters that vaguely resemble the characters that Robert Jordan created in his book series. So I highly recommend the Wheel of Time books. It's a long series, big books, not something to undertake lightly, but very good series of books. Obviously, the author, Robert Jordan, passed away before the series was finished. His wife and editor brought in Brandon Sorensen, another author to finish the series using Jordan's notes, and did a reasonably good job. Indeed, the final three books that were co-authored by Jordan and Sanderson they contained scenes that had been written by Jordan, but the entire books had not been put together. But yeah, that's a great series. But don't bother with the Amazon Prime TV show on the Wheel of Time. But the Amazon Prime adaptation of Terminal List. So we watched all 8 episodes yesterday. Just kind of live. I mean, it was rainy outside. We weren't going to go outside and do anything. And we had pizza, and it was just the two of us because my daughter and her family were off camping. So we weren't hanging out with them. Although I saw some beautiful pictures of them out on a boat in the lake. So they had a good time. They don't have a boat. They were camping with friends. So hope you had a wonderful 4th. All of that to say, hope you had a wonderful 4th. And today, the United States of America begins its 247th year as we head for 250. That's going to be a big one. That'll be 4 more years, and we'll be doing the 250th. And I remember I was the summer I turned 11 was the bicentennial summer. And I remember the bicentennial summer, and that was an interesting time. That was the summer that my family Yeah, I was 11. My dad had always wanted to live in the West, a dream of his, and the division of the company he worked for had shut down. And so they had transferred him to another position, decided that was a good time to break with the company. And he had never used all of his vacation. And so he had 6 weeks or so of vacation that hadn't been used. And so we loaded up the travel trailer and a big Suburban with mom, dad, my two sisters, and I. And we headed west out of Atlanta, out across Alabama, and then turned north and started going up the Rockies. We went to the Alamo. We went to San Antonio. We crossed into Juarez, which nowadays, I mean, that's drug central. That's a drug and crime ridden area. But in the mid 70s, it was a tourist area. So we crossed into Juarez and went shopping for the day in Mexico. So that was actually my first time out of the country. And, or had we been to Canada? I think we had been to Canada. So maybe it was the second time out of the country. But we went to Mexico and spent a day there, you know, just walking around Juarez in a tourist area and shopping, and came back to, you know, back into Texas, and then headed north up the Rockies. And Dad was looking for a little hardware store. That was kind of what his idea was, to find a small town in the West with a little hardware store with, like, the family quarters upstairs, so you live above the store. That was his idea. And so we were traveling north up the Rockies. We were stopping at, you know, tourist things. We were stopping at, I think we hit most of the national parks. I mean, we did the Grand Canyon. We did Mesa Verde. We did, what else did we do? We did Grand Canyon, Mesa Verde. We stopped at Rocky Mountain National Park. We did Yellowstone. We did Glacier. We were just doing this little tour of national parks. And it was the bicentennial summer. And I remember Walter Cronkite kept doing these things on TV and radio that whole year. That was 200 years ago today, and Walter Cronkite's voice. And he would say something that happened during the American Revolution in that time period. And then he would end with his standard, "And that's the way it was 200 years ago today." And that was, you know, it was interesting. And I used to always think there had to have been one day that nothing happened. And I always wanted to hear that episode. 200 years ago today, nothing of any importance happened. And that's the way it was 200 years ago today. I mean, because there's not monumentous events of every day. But now going back and thinking about it, they probably did the entire, you know, Revolutionary War period, which covered several years. So they would have been able to pick and choose. Even though it was 200 years ago today, they probably fudged it a year or two. And I'm sure during the Revolutionary War, just like World War I or World War II, if you take the entire conflict, you're going to find something interesting happening on every date. So that's probably what they did. I don't know if there's an archive of those online. That would be fun to go back and listen to. But yeah, that was the bicentennial summer, and I remember that, and that was 40s to me, how old I am. I turn 58 tomorrow, which is ridiculous. I don't feel that old until I start to do something, and my body tells me, hey, you're that old. You can't do that anymore. But, you know, it doesn't seem like I've been here. But then I think about stuff like, you know, the time before the internet, which wasn't that long ago. I was reading a news story about NPR for the first time in 30 years, they didn't read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety yesterday. And I didn't read it in its entirety here either. I just read the opening couple of paragraphs, mainly because I just read it a couple of weeks ago on Federalist Friday, as we're starting to go through the Constitutional and the Federalist Papers. So I had just read it, so I didn't read it again in its entirety on yesterday's show. But NPR has read it on Independence Day for the last 30 years. But yesterday they had to do a woke thing and talk about the hypocrisy of the Declaration of Independence and everything because of slavery and oppression and whatnot, which, you know, I don't know if anybody who approves, well, other than a few fringe skinhead groups, there's not a great many people who approve of the chattel slavery that existed in the British Empire at the time. And so, you know, the fact that when the United States declared independence, they didn't free the slaves at that time. As we read through the Constitution and everything, we will see that they set in motion what would have freed the slaves, and should have freed the slaves within just a few years if there hadn't have been such resistance by the Democrats in the South. I think the slaves would have been freed peaceably were it not for the Southern slaveholders. And it saddens me that it took the Civil War when something that should have been recognized as the right thing to do wasn't. But like I said, I don't know of anybody who celebrates certain aspects of life in America, but our founding fathers, and even some of the founding fathers who were slaveholders, we know from their own writings, they didn't approve of slavery. And people see that, well, how can you own slaves and not approve of slavery? There was no mechanism whereby they could have emancipated all of their slaves. In fact, laws had been passed that in the South that made it illegal to free vast numbers of slaves. So, you know, they were prevented from doing so in many cases. And so there's a, you know, a whole, it's a complex issue. It's not as simple black and white issue. And, you know, there were good slaveholders and bad slaveholders. But as an institution, it was evil. And I'm glad it's done away with. I'm just sorry it took the... And we may talk about that in some detail later. But we were just reading through Old Testament law not too long ago in our read-through of the Bible. And we clearly saw that the type of chattel slavery practiced in the Old Testament would have been punishable by death under the laws of Israel. So even though Bible passages were used in distortion in an effort to support slavery biblically, if you actually read the Old Testament law, the type of chattel slavery that existed in the American South was punishable by death. So while America had flaws, because America was founded by sinful men, the founding of America is something that really deserves celebration, because by and large, over the course of the last 246 years, America has been a force for good in the world. America was the first country to have the kind of freedom that we have. And the fact that freedom was established here, that freedom has influenced other areas of the world. Britain is now more free than it was before the American Revolution. France is certainly more free than it was before the American. The whole idea of the Western democracy that has spread, you know, throughout the globe, while you had parliaments and stuff, they were, you know, much more limited in their power and scope than they now are, because even up to World War I, you had, you know, I mean, Kaiser Wilhelm ruled Germany. You had, you know, kings still in power in many places. The you know, Queen Elizabeth's grandfather had political power. Queen Elizabeth really doesn't. She has some, but not on the scale that a ruling monarch did. And while technically, I guess England is still a monarchy, the role of the royal family is mostly ceremonial. You don't have the queen proposing laws. You don't have the queen fighting with parliament to try to get stuff done. You have a, but even just a couple of generations ago, you had quite a bit of power still vested in the royalty. You know, compare Queen Victoria's reign with Queen Elizabeth's reign. Queen Victoria actually had power of a sort that Queen Elizabeth never has had. And so we've seen the shift toward away from monarchy toward democracy. And that really stemmed from the American Revolution and the form of government that was that came into being here in America. And there are many reasons, and we'll get into this on Federalist Fridays in the months to come. There are many reasons why the type of democracy we have here has failed in other places. And we'll talk about that. I think one of the big reasons why it has failed, especially, you know, in our nation-building efforts in Asia and the Middle East to, you know, create democracies have by and large failed because, you know, the key reason, I think, is Christianity and a biblical worldview. You can't have a free people if you don't have a proper recognition of the freedoms that were endowed by our Creator, to use the words of the Declaration of Independence. We have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And if you do not recognize those rights, and you do not recognize those rights coming from God, and specifically the God of the Bible, so wait till we read Federalist 2. The God of the Bible, then you have a wrong idea about rights and where they come from. The whole idea that government is supposed to serve the people, not control the people, that comes from the Bible. And that comes from a biblical worldview. And that is why, throughout history, the only places where people truly have rights are places with a Christian tradition. And the fact that, you know, we want to now, as a society, divorce our beliefs in the rights of man from a biblical worldview is exactly the reason why our government is shifting from being a servant of the people to being a ruler of the people. Because there's a lack of understanding of where our rights come from and where the power of government comes from. And so we're seeing that change take place. But yes, 246 years of the United States of America is something to be celebrated, even not because of slavery and not because of abortion, but in spite of these things. All right, well, we are reading through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible this year. And our readings today are going to be, Ecclesiastes 1 through 3, Psalm 45, and 2 Timothy 1. So let us begin, as is our habit, with the prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer from the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I don't know if I said what our scriptures were today. Ecclesiastes 1 through 3, Psalm 45, and 2 Timothy 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does man have in all his labor, in which he labors under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth stands forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets, and hastening to its place, it rises there again. Going toward the south, then circling toward the north. The wind goes circling along, and on its circular course the wind returns. All the rivers go into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place where the rivers go, there they continually go. All things are wearisome. Man is not able to speak of it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, see this? It is new. Already it has been for ages which were before us. There is no remembrance of earlier things, and also of the latter things which will be. There will be for them no remembrance, among those who will come later still. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous endeavor which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is bent cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I spoke with my heart, saying, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my heart has seen an abundance of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and simple-minded folly. I came to know that this also is striving after wind, because in much wisdom there is much vexation, and whoever increases knowledge increases pain. Chapter 2. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with gladness, so that you shall see good things. And behold, it too was vanity. I said of laughter, what is madness? And of gladness, what does it do? I explored with my heart how to stimulate my body with wine, while my heart was guiding me wisely, and how to seize simple-minded folly, until I could see where is this good for the sons of men, in what they do under heaven the few days of their lives. I made my works great. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made for myself gardens and parks, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made for myself pools of water from which to water a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of the sons of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes asked for, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any gladness, for my heart was glad because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I turned to all my works which my hands had done and the labor which I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no advantage under the sun. So I turned to see wisdom, madness, and simple-minded folly. What will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that there is an advantage in wisdom over simple-minded folly, as light has an advantage over darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that the fate of one becomes the fate of all of them. Then I said in my heart, as is the fate of the fool, so will my fate be also. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said in my heart, this too is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise man along with the fool forever, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man dies with the fool. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is vanity and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a man of simple-minded folly? Yet he will have power over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored, and for which I have acted wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I turned my heart to despair of all my labor for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives a portion to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in all the striving of his heart with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his endeavor is painful and vexing, even at night his heart does not lie down. This too is vanity. There's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and have his soul see good in his labor. This also I have seen that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment outside of him? For to a man who is good before him, he has given knowledge and wisdom and gladness, while to the sinner he has given the endeavor of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to one who is good before God. This too is vanity and striving after wind. Chapter 3. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every matter under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What advantage is there to the worker for that which in which he labors? I have seen the endeavor which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that a man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be glad and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that Every man who eats and drinks and sees good in all his labor, it is a gift from God. I know that everything God does will be forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. God has so worked that men should fear him. That which has been already and that which will be has already been, yet God seeks what is pursued. Furthermore, I have seen under the sun that in the place of justice there is wickedness, and in the place of righteousness there is wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge both the righteous man and the wicked man, for a time for every matter and for every work is there. I said in my heart concerning the sons of men, God is testing them in order for them to see that they are but beasts. For the fate of the sons of men and the fate of beasts is the same fate for each of them. As one dies, so dies the other, and they all have the same breath. So there is no advantage for man over beast, for all is vanity. All go to the same place. All came from the dust, and all return to the dust. Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward, and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth? I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be glad in his work, for that is his portion. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? Now Psalm 45. For the choir director, according to Shoshanim, of the sons of Korah, a miskal, a song of love. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful scribe. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp, the people fall under you. Your arrows are in the heart of the king's enemies. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your companions. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made you glad. King's daughters are among your noble ladies. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. Then the king will desire your beauty, because he is your lord. Bow down to him. The daughter of Tyre will come with a present. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within her chamber. Her clothing is interwoven with gold. She will be led to the king in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought to you. They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the king's palace. In place of your fathers will be your sons. You shall set them up as princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered from generation to every generation. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. And now 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I unceasingly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, having remembered your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, being reminded of the unhypocritical faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am convinced that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Therefore, Do not be ashamed of either the witness about our Lord or me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Hold to the standard of sound works which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. You are aware of this, that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. This is the word of the Lord. Now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but all our doings may be ordered by thy governance, to do always that is righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, folks, well, have a wonderful day after Independence Day. I've got some stuff I need to get done today, and you probably do too. And for many of us, it's day back to work after a holiday weekend. So I wish you the very best of Tuesdays. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.